just like those PBS shows you used to watch as a kid, the Obscure 80s podcast is made possible from listeners like you. So if you like the show, why don't you head on over to www.obscure80s.com and click on the donate button at the bottom of the page. That's www.obscure80s.com. All donations are greatly appreciated. You know you want to help.
Stewie D never told you what happened to your first podcast.
He told me enough. He told me you canceled it.
No, I am your podcast.
No. No, it's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feed. You know it to be true.
No!
The Obscure 80s Podcast. Two bogus guys. One awesome decade. www.obscure80s.com.
Think you remember the 80s?
La 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 la, sing a happy song. La 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 la, smirk the whole day long.
Think again.
Hey you, get your damn hands off her.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Crazy fool.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Where's the beat?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. I'm all out of bubblegum.
Welcome to the Obscure 80s Podcast. The 80s you only think you remember.
I keep hitting the button and I can't stop. Like, click, 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 click. Welcome to the Obscure... Well, yeah.
You found the email button.
Welcome. Well, no, it wasn't the email. It was the voicemail. Welcome to the Obscure 80s Podcast. I'm Jay Emmett.
I'm Rob.
Episode 51. Sorry.
I'm Ralph Macchio.
I'm KC Masterpiece.
The epic proportion of one. MIC question mark.
Questionable Mike.
Questionable Mike.
Still sexy.
And we have somebody else.
He's bringing Skeksis back. Yeah.
Richard McBeef in the hizzy. Ready to get down. Ready to get busy.
Stewie
B.
Oh.
Mikey's Mike's got competition. He's been thinking about that for a week.
Richard McBeef, the skizzy, hazy, hizzy, whatever.
Off the hizzy, for shizzy, my knees.
So our 1 year was over.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't think it's going to be another year before we have a surprise coming up in probably about a month. So
what's the surprise, Jay?
If you know it, we're not going to tell it now, but we have.
Shut up.
You came up with an idea.
Up. It's up.
We're planning, we're working, we're scheming. We'll let it be known in a week or two.
It's a secret.
Can I take a peek?
We get all the... stuff, you know, down, you know, we know what we're doing.
It's private. You're not supposed to tell anybody.
But I had a blast last week. I really did.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Buzzed.
A lot of drunkenness.
Yeah.
Well, well maybe not drunk, but more like buzzed.
Some people sleeping. Whatever.
Oh, hey. I was tired and drunk that day. That's a lethal combination.
Dude,
I apologize.
You're an alcoholic. I swear.
Paging Mr. Alcoholic, first name Al.
Mr. Alcoholic.
Mr. Alcoholic.
Mr. Bird. Mr. GL Bird. All right, so let's just go ahead and do what we know we got to do. We got to do the voicemails. We got to do the news.
Do we have anything to clean out the closet with?
No, I can't think of anything. Does anybody have anything they need to...
Any news? That you know?
Yeah, not really.
I don't even think of anything.
I
right
was just bringing it out there.
Well, let's just go into news real quick because I'm going to read it this week and I'm going to go through it kind of quick, but it's all interesting stuff. News! The Osbournes are back in prime time, this time with a new variety show. Fox has ordered 6 episodes of the new show entitled The Osbournes, Loud and Dangerous, great, a new half-hour variety series which will be hosted by Ozzy, Sharon, Jack, and Kelly.
All right. What was it? Bowling for Soup said it perfectly. When did Ozzy become an actor?
When did Ozzy?
No kidding.
Wolverines! That's right. A remake of John Milius's 1984 Cold War thriller is in the works. The script is being written by Carl Ellsworth, who wrote Red Eye, and is being directed by Dan Bradley, who until now has been a second-unit director, working on movies like Bourne Ultimatum and the new Bond film Quantum of Solace.
Hmm.
No word yet as to whether or not the Ruskies will be the threat of this remake of Red Dawn, or if it'll be somebody. Well, it doesn't really work that well.
Right.
Well, we'll see. John Bon Jovi is giving back. Recently, he was in a neighborhood on Detroit's east side to announce the building of 5 new homes as part of a partnership among his Philadelphia Soul Charitable Foundation, Saturn, and Habitat for Humanity Detroit. Man, that was a mouthful. The crowd cheered, "Knock it down," as construction went to work demolishing the older buildings. "I wanted to come back and give something back to you," John Bon Jovi told the crowd. That's all I got on that. Madonna is rumored to be divorcing hubby Guy Ritchie, but according to the new book by her brother, Christopher Ciccone, how do you pronounce their real name? I don't know.
Ciccone.
Yeah. This may not be the case. He states that he believes they are committed to staying together. He also says that while his sister does love husband Ritchie, she is more in love with her career and with herself.
I believe that.
I believe that. Big
the
time.
Book, Life with My Sister Madonna, hit the stands last Tuesday.
You know, I agree with Mr. Ciccone.
He's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
But what an asshole brother move. I mean,
well, I guess they used to be really close and they worked together.
Oh, yeah.
They
were
kind of
with each other.
My guess is, well, I'm not going to slander.
Yeah, he's like the procrastinator.
And one that Kevin tried to send me, but alas, I already had it. Olivia Newton-John, I love you, married boyfriend John Easterling over the 4th of July weekend.
I hate you.
The Australian singer who stole our hearts back in the day with films like Grease and Xanadu, now 59 years old, married the 49-year-old Australian entrepreneur.
I thought it was 56.
No, I got 49 on what
I don't
I
care.
Read,
59, so 56.
It really doesn't
she's
matter,
still
though.
Freaking hot.
I still
who,
do.
Her or?
Him.
Well, I don't. These are the what I got. I don't
just
know.
Let him finish.
got my stuff from CNN. So yeah.
Just let him finish.
Communist News Network. Good for you. I'm so happy for you. I got mine from MSNBC. I mean, does it really matter? Are you trying to tell me that yours is right, mine's wrong?
Enough.
Is this important to you?
Yes.
Do you have to win the argument?
Can't we all just get along?
I mean, Kevin?
Apparently not.
I love you,
anyway,
Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John, now 59, married the, however old he is, Australian entrepreneur. Surprising guests who thought they were attending a barbecue. Both Easterling and John are active in environmental campaigns. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
The trial is over, and Christie Brinkley doesn't seem happy. The trial, which came to an abrupt end when the couple reached an out-of-court settlement, gives her custody of their two children.
What?
But under the agreement, Brinkley will give Cook $2.1 million, but will get to retain their 18 properties in the Hamptons. Do they really need 18 properties in the Hamptons?
She could probably sell them and,
cash out.
If you had the money to do it.
Police frontman Sting is unhappy with his 17-year-old daughter's choice of friends. Coco Sumner has been hanging around with troubled Brit rocker Pete Doherty, frontman for the band Baby Shambles. Never heard of him. Doherty has been in the news in the past for his battles with drug addiction as well as his brushes with the law. The Daily Mail said Sting was furious when he heard Doherty had been resting in Coco's tent after his performance at England's recent Glastonbury Music Festival. Coco Sumner seems to have been bitten by the same bug her father and brother, lead singer for the up-and-coming band Fiction Plane. I read that bad, but that's what I meant to say. She is an aspiring singer, songwriter, and guitarist. And after meeting Doherty at a jazz bar, he has since been helping her with her upcoming debut album. Pete has been raving about her talent. It's pretty clear he has the hots for her too, which will only worry her dad more, a source told the Daily Mail. Linda Hogan is threatening jail for Hulk. Linda has let it be known that if Terry Hulk Hogan Malaria doesn't relinquish his share of a condo purchased At Las Vegas's The Palms Hotel and Spa, she will push for him to be arrested. Linda was in Pinellas County Family Court on Tuesday, urging that her estranged husband be held in contempt of court for failing to close on the $4.3 million condo the couple had planned on purchasing together.
E! News reported.
E! News reported. We asked the judge to either force him to close, and if he won't, to put him in jail, Linda's lawyer, A.J. Barranco, told E! News Tuesday. Hulk's attorney, David Houston, called Linda's persistence in wanting to close the deal as greedy, delusional, and greatly vindictive, according to E! News, and claimed Hulk hasn't settled with his share because right now is not the best time for a big purchase and because the appraisal value is questionable.
Mike?
Thank you.
That was not planned.
Linda filed for divorce last November on grounds of infidelity.
You know, I got to tell you, as a Hulkamaniac, Hulk, you know what? Go back into private life and just...
Now, he effed up.
Yeah.
But Hulk, she does. She's
Hulk, man, she got some big boobs, man.
Overboard, so I'm saying.
Come on.
Yeah.
She's got huge
boobs. I'm more into the daughter.
Yeah, she can smother somebody.
Hey, mother-daughter thing, I'm all for
mother-daughter tag team?
Hell yeah, man.
You can see that on the internet, too.
Her body, her mother's big boobs, I'm all for it. And those suckers are paid for, so.
All right, here we go. So,
once again.
It's time to reach into our sack. And pull out the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We lost our beef.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Where's the McBeef?
So we have some emails.
Okay. Emails.
First one comes from an old friend, Miss Melissa.
Melissa.
She says,
email from a female. Go ahead.
She does say burp. No, she says, hello, 80s gurus. Just wanted to give a congrats on your big 50, and thank you for the entertainment that you give my ears, brain, each week. Looking forward to 50 more and then some, Melissa.
I'm still looking forward to the boob pictures, but, yeah.
I digest. this one comes from Matthew from Shelby Township.
Woo!
He says, I was following up on the rumor that the Transformers comic book character, The Fallen, might appear in the upcoming movie, and I found an interesting fact. It's a trademark application Hasbro filed in May. The trademark is for the name The Fallen. They describe it as a trademark for toy action figures, toy vehicles, and toy robots convertible into other visual toy forms. Toy action figures, toy vehicles, and toy robots convertible into other visual toy forms. I wonder why Hasbro would be interested in trademarking a transforming toy robot named The Fallen. The next one comes from a new listener. We're going to call him D-Hub because that's what he called
himself.
Did
you want to give the comment first, or did you want to do the...
I don't have the comment, actually. I'll read...
I thought we did. Okay, never mind.
Hey, this guy's from London.
No, I don't have it. And if I do, I don't know where to...
London, Kentucky.
London, Kentucky.
Oh.
KY.
He says, hey, Jay, Stu, Casey, and Mike. Oh, I love the show. I discovered the show about 3 weeks ago while I was searching for an 80s-type podcast on Google. I found your site, and I immediately noticed the sitcom episode that featured Alf and Small Wonder, two of my favorites. I know Small Wonder was cheesy, but I had a crush on Tiffany Brissett. So much so, I eventually contacted her by mail through her agent in the early 90s after seeing her appear on the 700 Club. I have a copy of the show on VHS, oddly enough, that I paid $10 for. At one time, I had about 90 episodes of Small Wonder recorded on VHS.
Wow.
I no longer have any of them. But anyways, the cool thing was that Tiffany and her mother, Diane, used to correspond with me. I still have the letters and three pictures they sent me. One was from a ski trip at Big Bear. One of the letters Tiffany's mom wrote to me while they were on an airplane. I also have a Christmas card and a thank you card from them because I had sent each of them some chocolates through that Swiss Colony mail order place. They were both very nice, down-to-earth people. I'm not sure what attracted me to Tiffany in the beginning. Maybe it was because every guy can relate to wishing they had a naive female robot to play with. As for Alf, I have the first three seasons of the show on DVD, which is cool. And I got my three daughters hooked on this show, among others from my childhood, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
Pass it on. Yeah.
This gets good. KC, you need to be listening.
Pay it forward.
Yeah.
As for the 50th episode, I really enjoyed it, as I do all of the shows. I listen to them at work, as I commented before on the Obscurities MySpace page, which we thought we had, but we don't.
Yeah.
My profile name, his name is D-Hub. Nope. But that's neither here nor there. I loved the karaoke at the end of part two of the episode. Jay, you did a great job. Thank you. With Bryan Adams' song, and I was sick. And I enjoyed Casey's version of that Rick Astley song.
That was awesome.
To tell the truth, if he had actually sang it as well as Rick Astley, then that would have just made a strong case that Casey is a gay white man. No, but he's saying you didn't.
Well, that's good.
If you would have sang it like Rick Astley. All of you guys rock real hard with the Lean On Me karaoke, which I thought was a blast.
Yeah.
It was a great closing to the show. I have a couple of questions. Sorry for the email being so long. We don't care. That's
all right.
The longer the better, dude.
But referring back to the Atari episode.
That's what
episode,
she said.
This is good, actually. He's got some good questions, guys. Do any of you guys remember a game called Tunnel Runner?
I don't.
I'm trying and I can't.
No, me neither.
It was for the Atari 2600. That was my favorite Atari game of all time. It was a 3D first-person maze game. You had to navigate the maze, find a key, then find the correct door to exit to go on to the next maze. There were four maze monsters that were trying to hunt you down in the maze the whole while. They were different colors, and just like on Pac-Man, a couple of the monsters were kind of stupid and easy to escape, while the other two were smarter and harder to escape. You would always know a monster was near because eerie music would begin to play, and it got louder the closer the monsters got to you. It actually sounds like a pretty cool game.
Yeah, it did.
This one's great, too, and I don't know this either, but this is... My second question is about an ice cream snack that I think started in the 80s. It was called Cream Burger. Shut up, Mike. It was the Neapolitan ice cream sandwiched between two round oatmeal cookies and covered in chocolate. The package was red.
I'm sorry.
The package was red. The last time I remember buying one was in the mid-90s, I think. I don't believe they're around any longer, but they were awesome.
Dude, do Google on it and find out.
The Klondike bar doesn't even come close to the creamy burger. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Did any of you guys ever used to take empty pop bottles, yes, to the grocery store for the refund?
Sure did.
And use that change to play arcade games?
Actually, no. I used that money to buy baseball cards with.
And me and my brother did it all the time. I actually did go to the arcade a couple times.
Nice.
Anyway, this is the great part. You guys ready for this? Mm-hmm. This is why this guy kicks ass. Anyways, I donated some money to the show.
Yay!
Hold on, it gets better. I plan on doing it every month.
Yay! Awesome.
Hold on, it gets better. Because I used to pay for Bob and Tom podcast, and you guys, your guys' show is so much better and funnier than theirs.
Thank you.
Is that not the coolest compliment ever?
See, they're paid employees, too.
You four guys are not bogus. Yes, we are. You guys rock like a Waka Waka hurricane.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm still kind of weepy after that comment. Thank you.
Awesome, really. Dude. That is incredible. Yeah, I mean,
that's just freaking awesome.
And thank you for the donation. You guys have no idea. Because of the donations we've been getting, we are about to do some really cool stuff to the website. It'll be changed a little bit, and we'll be adding some stuff. Basically, what we're going to end up adding is there'll be some links to Amazon with some of the shows, movies, and music we talk about each week. You'll be able to buy them directly through our website, which is through Amazon. But we will actually get, I think we get like 5 or 10% of, not from you guys, but from Amazon whenever that's done. But what'll be cool about it is you'll be able to go on, and if we're talking about a specific movie or a specific music that week,
or
we'll try to link that thing.
Anything.
So a lot of times we've had people be like, oh, I haven't thought of that movie in forever. I want that. You'll be able to get that.
Yeah, we do it all the time like that.
We do.
We actually, like, I got about like 10, 20 movies that I'm like, oh, yeah, you got to get that one.
So you guys, are we ready for the voicemails?
What are we looking at right now?
20 minutes.
I say we go into like a break first.
I say we do the voicemails and then we hit break right after, like directly into break.
Okay.
I can do that.
Well, because we usually come back and start talking about the actual topic, so let's just clean it out. We got one actual voicemail and then two recorded messages that we're sending, which people, if you ever want to do that, feel free. Just send them into our website or our email.
Mm-hmm.
Call us here at the Obscure 80s Podcast voicemail line. 1-206-350-6229. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey there, Obscure 80s crew. This is Matthew from Shelby Town,
Michigan.
Hi, Matthew. I was just calling because I listened to your show, and you were talking about remakes of 1980s movies that you'd like to see
done well. I love this voicemail. This is
and
great.
And one person had brought up the fantastic movie, The Eliminators. Now, let's review this movie for a second, shall we? This is a movie about a pilot who crashes and gets turned into a cyborg by an evil scientist.
Okay.
Then the evil scientist wants to use him to try to take over the past, but he escapes. Seeks out a hot chick cyberneticist robot sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
They head after the evil scientist, picking up along the way a smart-ass riverboat captain and a ninja. And then they fight cavemen. And then stop him from going back in time and ruling ancient Rome.
Story of my life.
Okay, my question is, how could you possibly improve upon that movie?
You couldn't.
It's
perfect. No, you can't.
Oh, well.
That is perfect.
I guess to each his own. Maybe some people don't find that as the perfect movie. If I could get an 80s movie, I don't think I'd have one remade, but I wouldn't mind seeing the movie Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. I wouldn't mind seeing that sequeled. I'd like to see The Adventure continues. See what happens when he goes up against some other bad guys. What do you guys think? You have a great show. Bye.
They actually tried to do a Remo Williams television series briefly, and it didn't even last, I think, two or three episodes. I watched it because I love the movie, but it didn't last very, very long. So you may or may not. You probably find clips on YouTube. Whether you could actually find any of the shows remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But he's right. How could you improve on that movie? It sounds freaking awesome.
That's awesome.
Ninjas, riverboat captains, and cybernetic rolling men. What could be better? All right, this next one comes from Brother D.
Brother D.
And this is in reference to the same thing, the who you would cast. Now, I'm going to say this ahead of time. I'm sure all his cast choices are brilliant. I don't know who any of his picks are.
We don't even know where the, which ones are, like, if they're in any
we
other
will
movies
be
or not.
But here you go.
You guys pretty much covered the big 80s show on your episode. I loved the A-Team growing up, and I agree with a lot of your casting picks.
Thank you.
And your G.I. Joe cast? Spot on. I'm down with that. Although, it sounds like Angelina Jolie's going to be pretty busy working on all these fantasy projects of ours, you know? Not that there's anything wrong with that, I'm just saying. She's going to be busy. You know, and just a little comment about G.I. Joe. What about Cover Girl, man? How would you cast her? I gotta say, I was always more of a Cover Girl guy growing up than a Lady J or Scarlet person. You dig? Now, I wanted to take a turn here and cast one of my favorite shows from the 80s as if it was being produced as a feature film now. Now, this show did not last very long.
It
only made it through 13 episodes, one of which didn't even make it to the air. I'm talking about the show Misfits of Science. Now, here's how I'd cast it. Now, the leader of the group, Dr. Billy Hayes, was originally played by the late Dean Paul Martin, son of Dean Martin. Now, in the film, I'd cast Matt Damon in the role. Now, Damon has proven that he can do action as well as straight-up drama and even a little bit of quirkiness, which is something my film version of the Misfits of Science would need. Dr. L. Lincoln, played by the late Kevin Peter Hall, who also played Harry in Harry and the Hendersons, would be played by Jimon Hansu. Now, L was a tall black man and was able to shrink down to doll size, so we'd have to bring some CG into the film to give Hansu varying heights throughout the movie, and I think he can handle the role pretty well. Johnny Pukowski, also known as Johnny B, was a rock and roller who was able to control electricity. He was originally played by Mark Thomas Miller, and in my film update, he'd be played by Hal Sparks, who, in addition to being an actor, is a musician as well, and he strikes me as the kind of guy who could bring the right kind of attitude to the character of Johnny B. The last misfit was Glo Donnallo, originally played by Courtney Cox. Now, in the film, she'd be played by Jess Wexler, who we saw recently in the Vagina Dentata movie, Teeth. Glo was a troubled youth type who had sometimes out-of-control telekinetic powers, and Wexler's already shown that she can play a young youth type with definite problems of her own, you know what I mean? Yeah. All right, so that's how I'd cast it. Now, I'm just going to sit back and wait for Hollywood to give me a call, baby.
Okay, so
what was that music in the background?
It sounded like Cyndi Lauper, but I couldn't quite tell. It's kind of quiet.
I'm wondering, is that the Misfits Science, like, by chance?
I don't. It's been years since I watched it. But
Brody, let us know. I was just wondering.
Is just so you know, a movie about it.
Mike is in tears.
It's a movie about. It's a horror movie that just came out about a girl who has teeth in her vagina.
And I want to see it.
I've actually heard it's
pretty good.
Yes.
Bite me.
I know that name.
Is it just as good as Machine Girl? Because if it is, I gotta see it.
I don't know.
Bite me.
Hal Sparks hosted Ease Talk Soup for a little bit. And he was in Spider-Man 2 in the elevator scene. The elevator scene with Spider-Man commenting on his suit.
Okay.
So, in case.
I knew the name.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite connect the face to the name. And we have one more, and this is from
DZ.
Drunken Zombie. And this is in regards to last week's show. And this is
the
coolest. Yes. So we'll go right out of this, right into break, and then we'll be back right after that.
Watch out, here I come.
Hey, this is the guys from Drunken Zombie. We want to call the Obscure 80s Podcast and wish you guys a happy 1 year on your podcasting adventures.
Now that you're 1 year older, you're going to notice you'll find hair in places that hair wasn't before.
You know, we're just babies in this thing. We haven't been doing it for that long, but as soon as you guys are old enough to drink, you know, 1 year isn't really good enough, but as soon as you are, man, we are all about that.
Seriously, we let 1 year olds drink, and suddenly we get like a stigma test. You know, cops show up, and it's not a good time for anybody.
We're already bad influences, but damn, I don't want to get caught doing that. So
we're like the older brother podcast where you make your younger brothers watch porno and horror movies and beer. And
yeah, we'll eventually buy you beer, you know, at some point. Like,
we'll be the ones who get you your cigarettes.
We're going to tell you what boobs feel like.
Oh, bags of sand.
Oh, what boobs have you been feeling? Wow.
You're very weird, sir.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, this is the Drunken Zombie, guys. We just want to wish you a happy 1 year podcasting. We can only hope to achieve our 1 year anniversary, which is actually coming up soon.
Yes, but we're probably going to kill each other first.
Probably.
That's all right. Happy Blumpkins.
Hello, this is Takeoff, the podcast.
Takeoff is a podcast series from Hungary that features student stories as well as classics like Catcher in the Rye and Breakfast at Tiffany's. You can find Takeoff at josephhor.podomatic.com. That's josephhor.podomatic.com.
If we only knew, maybe
we
would.
Knew what they were.
If we only knew what Blumpkins were. We're going to be talking about the 1980s films of John Carpenter. One of my cinematic heroes, as it were.
Might as well.
And the creator of one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes, which we will talk about. This music here in the background was actually composed by Mr. Carpenter and performed. This is the theme song for Escape from New York, which is a great movie.
Which I actually have not seen, but I tried to.
Oh, it's, no. It's good.
It is good. You can go down and buy it at Walmart for like $5.
Yep.
Highly worth it. I need to go buy it. I used to have it on VHS, and then I don't have VHS anymore, so I don't have it anymore.
Maybe when that remake comes around, they'll have a special edition.
Last I heard, they're not doing it.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard actually that Jonathan Mostow was the last one who was going to supposedly direct it, from what I heard.
Well, I heard rumor there for a while that they were thinking about doing like a just like CG like movies based on it that Kurt Russell would actually voice.
There was actually supposed to be an anime, believe it or not.
That might be all right.
Yeah,
I can see an animation one.
Yeah.
John Carpenter and Kurt Russell come back and do it, I'd be okay with that, I think. But let's go down the line. Actually, I have a little bit of information about John Carpenter. You know how we do, because we don't like to give a lot, but we like to give some of the pre-80s stuff. So you can follow along. All right. John Carpenter was born in Carthage, New York. I had the year, but I didn't. I left it. I went the next way. He moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky in 1953, and I put that because that's right by us. That's pretty close.
Like a neighbor.
Woo! And he began filming horror films, horror shorts on 8mm film even before entering high school.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, yeah.
His first major film as director was Dark Star, 1974. It was a sci-fi comedy. He also did Assault on Precinct 13 in the 70s. And, of course, Halloween, 1978, which just...
Wasn't Assault on Precinct 13, like, just released?
Well,
like,
that was a remake, which is okay.
It was a good movie, the new one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that was a remake.
Has John Leguizamo in it, which is kind of cool.
I didn't know it was a remake.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1978, Halloween, which, despite a small $320,000 budget, was a smash hit grossing over $65 million and helped give birth to the slasher film genre.
I'll be damned.
Later, he did a made-for-TV movie called Elvis, starring his future leading man, Kurt Russell.
Mm.
And then came the 80s. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. We have,
yeah.
We'll start with 1980. But we're going to be talking about John Carpenter's movies from the 80s. And I would bet, I've seen all of these. I know you've seen most of these. I would bet Mikey has seen most of these.
I would hope so.
He's a Saturday afternoon movie kind of watcher.
He's a Saturday freak.
And I would bet you've probably seen most of these.
Yeah.
And I would bet you've seen all these. So let's start. 1980, The Fog.
Which we actually have The Fog here.
Let's start where we're going to start. Don't watch the remake.
That's what I was warned about.
Yeah, I heard that was absolutely terrible.
Good Lord, it is bad.
And you know what? I've asked more than just him. J. Emmett, I've actually asked a couple others. They're like, dude, that remake pissed
it's
me off.
Very bad.
I'm like, wow, was it that bad?
So The Fog is a story of this little town that sits by, you know, they got a little lighthouse. It's like a little New England town, I believe. And basically one night, a really thick fog bank, or a big a mist. As an Italian might say, a big a mist. A really thick fog bank rolls in, and there are ghosts of, I guess they're not really pirates. Are they pirates? Or?
I think so, yeah. It's been a while since I've seen The Fog, but yes, I do recall piratism in there somewhere.
Basically, wherever the fog bank rolls in.
But piratism?
So come.
I knew that was coming.
They're almost like, they're kind of.
Coming.
They did.
Okay, I locked into some of that. They're basically like zombie pirates almost. Not really ghosty. They're pretty nasty looking. And Brother D might argue that they're zombies, but they're kind of zombies, kind of ghosts.
Kind of look zombie
sort of
ghoulish.
Like a Scooby-Doo
thingies.
Thriller thing.
Yeah, kind of. It's actually a pretty creepy movie. And he, as you'll learn, he likes to have people. He likes the same cast members. Hmm. And Adrienne Barbeau is in this, who is...
His wife and hot.
You think Adrienne Barbeau is hot, really?
Hell fucking yeah, I hit that.
I just don't think she's attractive.
No, I'd lay some pipe down
to
that.
No. Leanna Quigley's hot.
Was.
With her fake cooter.
Gonna lay some pipe on that with a vengeance.
You got that one.
Anyway, she is also Jamie Lee Curtis, who was in Halloween with him.
And big boobs.
Jamie Lee Curtis is like a hitchhiker, I think, that just gets picked up and brought into the town. And Adrienne Barbeau does a like radio show out of the is it out of the lighthouse? It is, right?
I believe so.
And basically, the fog bank keeps rolling further and further to the town, and people start getting killed. And it's actually a pretty creepy movie.
Yeah.
So
there is I don't know if you guys have already discussed this or not. I might have been.
Probably, but go ahead.
The Mist and The Fog.
Both Stephen King.
The Fog?
Or no, wait a minute. I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, I was going to The Fog is a Stephen King.
Is it a similar type thing?
It's
I haven't seen The Mist.
The Mist has creatures,
monsters, yeah.
And it's a little different.
Okay.
It's about a group of people holed up in a grocery store, and there were monsters.
Well, I heard what the scenario was of monsters. The Mist.
Really that similar, no.
Okay.
And there is a... There is a mystery in The Fog. There's a reason why these things are coming, which, you know, the movies at this point, you know, almost 30 years old, but you know,
at least that'll help out people that don't help people.
Yeah,
out
it gives them some backstory.
A mystery. Get them confused. Shaggy, what's going on with this mystery?
Like the mystery of the fog. Zoinks.
As a kid, this movie that is excellent. That is just
thank you.
As a kid, this movie's kind of scared the shit out of me, and I recommend it.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? All we need is the Mystery Machine.
Dude, we need to get the fog and, like, take the last 10 minutes of the movie and edit the freaking Mystery Ink in there. and then put it back on the movie shelf and not tell anybody we did it. So somebody's just sitting there watching, like, what the fuck?
Zoinks!
Honey, did you know Scooby-Doo was in the fog?
I don't remember that. Is that the new one? No, the old one.
Put down the porno. I'm getting this.
Is that the new one? No, it's the one with Adrian Barbeau.
Oh, we really need to lay
you mean
off.
You don't remember Shaggy in the fog? What's wrong with you?
We really need to lay off the crack pipe.
And I mean we actually edit the cartoons in there, not the, like, people, like the actual cartoons. Oh, man.
And I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't
for your mentally kids.
Anyway, what I've noticed about this list, which is really interesting, is there's only one year where he did not make a movie, and that was 1985. So.
And I did notice that he has one character that's in about three of these.
Yes, well, that's what I said. He has a lot of returning cast members.
Oh, yeah.
1981 is a brilliant movie, which was Escape from New York.
Oh, I love this one.
Yes.
Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Obviously, the second movie Kurt Russell was in from John Carpenter, the first one being where he played Elvis.
Yeah.
I love Escape from New York. New York has become like a penal colony.
Yes.
Well, Manhattan Island, right?
Yeah.
Penal.
They have sectioned it off from everything else, and they throw all the prisoners there. And the president, played by?
Anyone? Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance, another one of his favorites.
Penal is Pleasance.
He crash lands. He's in a plane, and it's going down, and he takes like an escape pod and lands in the city. So they take Snake Plissken. And they cut a deal with him to go in and rescue the president.
But first, they inject him with a bomb.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they send him in, and a bunch of people just get killed. And there are some great performances. Adrian Barbeau's in this, of course.
Isaac Hayes as Duke.
Isaac Hayes is Duke, yes.
Yeah.
Who's
the taxi driver? It's what's that guy's name?
Man, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, I can't remember either.
Anyway, great movie. Actually, one of the first movies to have computer-generated graphics in it. The glider scene was done with computers, I think. Yeah. I used to have the VHS, and it had some extras on it, believe it or not. Only one of two VHS I ever owned with extras. The other was The Crow.
They actually had a computer that could do that kind of stuff then?
Yes. Well, trust me, you can tell. But it's still pretty cool for the time. I love this movie, man. One of the things I've always loved, and Escape from L.A. did it too, and it's something I always love, but they never really, they do the whole, Snake Plissken, I thought you were dead, or they always bring up something, and they never explain it.
Right.
But it's like a running gag through both movies. I think the second one was, I thought you were dead. The first one was,
I thought you were taller?
No, it was something about, I heard about what happened, and they mention a place, but they never tell you something, I don't remember, but, Kurt Russell wearing those blue army like fatigue pants and that black wife beater shirt.
Wife beater, yeah.
And the eye patch, of course. And the mullet.
Right.
The curly mullet. But he was a badass.
Yeah, he is.
He really, I mean, Snake Plissken, he's a major badass.
In all these movies, he had like long hair. Like
he always pretty much did have long hair.
Until he started losing it.
Until he started doing the spiky thing later in the 90s.
Overboard.
I love the scene where Donald Pleasance freaks out up on the thing with the guns. He's like,
right,
doing that patented Donald. I wish I had a clip of it, man, because it's just him. I don't even remember what the hell he's yelling because you can't make half of it out. He's like, "Is I?" Just fucking shooting everybody. That was it. That's all I can do. That's my best Donald Pleasance. And then in the end, when the tape. And I believe it is a cassette tape, actually.
Yes, it was.
But it's supposed to be like a speech.
Yeah, a speech, and the other one was the cab driver music.
He switched. Wasn't it American Bandstand or some shit?
Some.
I think it was Bandstand by Barry Manilow.
I think so.
It might have been Bandstand. bands.
We've been hearing a lot of Barry Manilow today.
Yeah, we have. And nobody gets that but me and you, so whatever.
Sorry.
But then it's an actual cassette because he then rips the cassette tape out and he throws it over his shoulder. Anyway, you can buy this at Walmart for like $5 in the $5 bin. And if you've never seen it, go get it.
Please.
Good deal.
I'm going to go get it and watch it.
Now, definitely not 80s, but what did you think of Escape from L.A.?
You know what? Even though I don't particularly love the movie, I still think Kurt Russell's great.
Plus Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, the Surgeon General.
It was entertaining.
It's complete cheese, man, but it was. I couldn't help but like it. I'm like, it's so bad, but I can't help but like it.
It was cheese, but it was Cannonball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, anybody?
I'm
from under cheese.
Provolone.
Said cheese from under.
From under these nuts.
Okay, now 1982 comes a film that Stewie rented and still didn't get to watch. Now this is probably on my top 10.
It was playing, but I never got to actually watch it fully.
I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna go out even further. This is on my top 10 best horror movies of all time, and most true horror fans, it'll probably make their list.
Really?
Yes. Another Kurt Russell, also had Wilford Brimley in it.
Yeah.
1982, The Thing.
Awesome movie.
Mr. Diabetes.
I'm going to kill that monster. It's the right thing to do and the tasty way to do it.
Who want oatmeal?
So much for oatmeal.
I recognize him, but I'm like, where do I know that guy from?
Diabetes and Oatmeal.
Well, I didn't.
It was also so on, what is that show that he was on? It was on that TV show.
Yeah, it was an
80s
show.
80s Enough or some shit like that.
He was so much younger in that movie.
Yeah.
So much younger.
The Thing is actually a remake. Have you ever seen the original black and white plant
no,
monster thing?
No, I have
thing?
Not.
I have. It's,
yeah, but I did see the remake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 82 one with Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Which is creepy.
Right.
And has this little thing called practical effects.
Which George Lucas has no concept.
No concept whatsoever.
Or Spielberg.
We're at the theater tonight, and we see a preview for Clone Wars, and it's playing the Star Wars music. Da, na, 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 na. I looked at Stu. I was like, "Do you hear they're putting lyrics to this?" He's like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah." It goes, "Money, I want your money. Just give me your money
right now."
It actually looks pretty good. The Clone Wars movie
looks
pretty good.
I'll give it
I'm like, yeah. It does. I don't like the voice they got for Yoda.
I will never see another Star Wars movie like
in the theater.
Live action.
I'm not going to the theater to see Clone Wars.
If they ever make
me neither.
You could. No way. No way.
Sorry, he burned his bridge with these last.
Yeah, he did.
And yet I kept going.
Man's like, just.
It's got to get better.
Man, the man just don't know when.
I was right. The third one was better than the second one.
Yeah, and then he just killed.
It wasn't good.
He just killed himself with the monkey scene.
Monkeys, fucking monkeys. So the thing is, damn, what a good movie. Just
from
good.
What I saw was decent. I mean, I didn't exactly see like large chunks, but the effects were pretty good.
Creepy as shit.
Yes, it is.
One of the best.
Almost anything can be a thing.
Right. Yeah. The opening scene is great. The end is just one of the best horror movie
absolutely
endings. Ever. I'm like, that is just fucking sweet. Because you don't know. You have no idea.
No.
They don't know.
They actually had a video game based on the thing.
I know. I heard it was good.
Yeah, and they do actually solve that mystery at the end of the movie. But I won't ruin it for you.
Yeah.
So it was no E.T. from the video.
I'm still
video
trying to.
Version. It was just good stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely good. Good game.
I'm still trying to figure out the Porky's video game on Atari.
Ugh. Yeah, I heard about
it. Is there a pixelated shower scene?
I don't know. One of our listeners said something about it.
Why did they call you Lassie?
Well, speaking of John Carpenter, Halloween was actually an Atari game, too.
Yes, it was.
Yes, I do remember
it
that.
Was.
I do remember that.
So was Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. And Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, wait, no, maybe that was Nintendo.
I really don't know, man. I don't know if I could say enough good things about the thing. The dog scene is just... Oh, terrifying.
Oh, my awesome. Goodness.
But talking about the first
the
part.
The scene where they got the dude strapped to the chair, and they're testing everybody's blood, and he starts shaking and shit. It's just fucking... No, he's not even strapped to the chair at that point. He's just sitting there like... That thing comes fucking busting out like... I was like, oh, that's just awesome. There is some stop motion in it, which, in a way, I kind of miss stop motion, even the cheese of it.
Yeah, you know what? Stop motion just sort of makes everything creepier
in a way.
In that
it
movie.
Does.
Yeah,
it really does.
And I gotta tell you, the best stop motion is a hell of a lot better than the worst CGI. But
well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
well, now, it's not better anything's, than the best CGI. And say,
anything's better than
true,
monkeys.
But, yeah.
Like, I've actually seen, they did some go motion for the original test footage for Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's not as good as what the CG they did, it was, Steven Spielberg
monkeys.
Saw it and said, and I quote, best CG, or best go motion I've ever seen.
Better than
He's
monkeys.
Like, but it just wasn't good enough. I wanted them to look more real. And they and on the clips you see it and it is really good, but the Jurassic Park stop or CG is great.
Yeah, why didn't you
don't know?
Yeah, why didn't you think about that during the monkey scene?
Why?
Come on,
the monkey scene is gonna go down
sorry.
In infamy.
Yeah. I am gonna be pissed off about that entire scene.
I'm so forever. Glad I didn't go see that movie now.
Don't
now one of the
right. well it, rent it
yeah
but don't go
yeah.
to the
theater. One of the interesting things about John Carpenter is every movie he did was either in the 80s. Was either science fiction or horror, because I would definitely say The Escape from New York is science fiction, and then of course The Fog and The Thing, and then came 1983, one of Stewie's favorites, one that I actually don't like very much, and for a John Carpenter movie, I don't say this often, but why didn't he do what was in the book?
See, I had never read the book, so
well, there's a lot more in the book that they just. I mean,
some of the people in that movie.
Well,
I
1983.
Tell without,
Christine.
Yeah.
Christine.
Christine. About a possessed 1957.
Well, see, that's
Chevy.
Just it. In the book, in the movie, it's like right off. It's off the assembly line. In the book, it's because somebody dies in the car, mm-hmm. and it's almost like yes, sir.
No, I just wanted to say that that's where I got confused before. I know Stephen King wrote Christine.
That's okay.
See, so that's why John Carpenter is associated with another Stephen King, you know, with a Stephen King thing. That's why I got mixed up with
was
The Mist.
Christine, you're right.
Right.
And in the movie, in the book, every time he kills somebody with the car, they end up, their ghost is like in the car with him when he rides around, like rotting corpses. Like they get a little worse and a little worse uh-huh. every time. And stuff like that. I mean, that would have been great in the movie. The other thing I had a problem with in the movie was to make Christine drive around by itself, they just made the windows black. I'm like, come on. They could have figured out a way to make the car look like it was driving without somebody in it. Christine's an okay movie, but I think it could have been creepier, and they've talked about... actually, what's funny is they remade The Fog. They talked about Escape from New York. Mm-hmm. They've talked about The Thing as a TV miniseries, which is still being talked about as far as I know.
They really need to think about this one.
Well, and Christina has been. Out of all these, Christina is the only one I'd be like, okay, remake it. But let John Carpenter do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
I liked Ghosts of Mars, personally.
I like Christine. Right. I like it a lot. Some of the characters I could have dealt without having them in the film, but like the guy that drove the car. He could have been tossed aside. I don't care.
Well, that,
but it had someone else in his
that's
place.
That's the movie.
Well, it had someone else in his place. Better actor.
hey, that's the dude from Back to School.
Yeah, well, yeah. He wasn't exactly
that's
good in
all
that.
All I know him in is Christina Back to School.
He was also not really that good in that one either.
He's all right.
Yeah. Good.
I've never... Now, I know you've always kind of liked Christine. It's always been one of those...
Well, I'm always one that likes movies with deals with cars, usually.
You know, in the book, it's a different car. It's a,
what is it?
What is it in the movie? Is it a...
It's a 57 Chevy in the movie.
No, it's not. Definitely is not. It's like a Buick or something.
I have no idea. I'm not a car person.
It's definitely not a 57 Chevy.
I thought it was.
No. It's a Chrysler something. I don't know. But it's different in the book. But no, it's not a 57 Chevy. Trust me.
Oh, okay.
You know I know this, man.
Four?
Is it a little red Corvette?
Ford Fairlane?
No.
A Studebaker?
And I know there are fans out there right now going,
"You
dumbasses! How do you not know what it is?" Because we're stupid. Shut up.
Puberty.
We're going to get through this list fast, but then we can just bullshit because that's what we're good at. 1984, probably the worst movie he's ever done. Boring.
Oh my God.
And funny, out of all these, the only one they attempted to make a TV series out of.
Why?
Boring.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of... What's his name? Jeff Bridges? But oh my god,
he wasn't in the TV series. Actually, I think the TV series dealt with his son,
Starman.
Starman,
1984.
Boring.
Oh my god,
never seen it.
Alien comes to Earth and gets a hair from a dead dude that's in a photo album, and clones himself off of it. And then him and the chick are running across country.
I wonder if they can claim that as like a zombie film. He actually
and he brings a deer back to life.
Zombie deer.
Zombie deer.
Yeah.
Sounds deer like a romantic zombie.
Zombie.
Sounds like a romantic zombie.
Deer zombie.
Zombie deer. I don't like Starman. I mean, I have no problem with the directing on Starman. I just think the movie is boring as piss.
It just ran long for what it was. It didn't go anywhere. It was not. It didn't have.
Just kept going.
Didn't climb. It just was.
It plateaued.
Well, the series is about his son. Like, she gets pregnant or some shit. But it's basically, you want to talk about boring. The series is
it
boring.
It spawned?
It did spawn.
Yeah, it spawned a series.
Okay, so I'm going to skip it. Well, not going to skip it, but I'll move right on to 1986 and my favorite John Carpenter movie.
Yes.
I own this. I love it. And this is a movie also starring Kurt Russell that you need to watch and then watch again and then watch again.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Amen.
Funnier every time you watch it.
Yes.
Also has Kate Capshaw.
Granted, she ain't naked in it.
No, she's not.
But, you know.
Excellent movie. Hilarious movie. Man, just some of the funniest cracks coming out. I've always loved the line where he's talking. He's in the truck driving down the highway. He's like, his name's Jack Burton.
Basically, his line.
It's the story of he's a truck driver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Goes to stops in through Little China, and he's visiting a friend of his. The friend needs him to go with him to the airport to pick up his fiance, who is a Chinese girl with green eyes.
A girl with green eyes.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Lo Pan is the bad guy.
Right.
And she gets kidnapped at the airport, and you start finding out that there's this kind of underground, they're like magicians almost, and there's creatures and everything else, and they kind of got to go into the Chinese underground, little Chinese underground, to rescue her. Well, there's a reporter who is doing a story who is not Chinese but also has green eyes, and she gets kidnapped as well, and that's Kate Capshaw. Mm-hmm. Kate Capshaw, right? Am I saying that right?
I think so, yeah.
Suddenly it didn't sound right.
Kate Capshaw.
I started thinking of Steven Spielberg's wife from, and I'm like, no, that's not. Anyway, and just funny shit happens. But my favorite line, Lo Pan is this guy that normally looks like an old dude, but can transform by glowing beams out of his eyes into a younger dude,
right?
With long fingernails. And Blanca from
don't masturbate with those things.
Blanca from Street Fighter is in here.
And don't forget Raiden.
What?
Raiden's
in it as well.
Yeah.
Actually. John Tobias, one of the makers or creators of Mortal Kombat. People probably already know this, but one of the influences he took for that game was Big Trouble in Little China.
Obviously.
Raiden was, of course, Lightning from that movie.
And he wore the hat.
Right. Shang Tsung was
Lo Pan,
essentially.
Change from the older to the...
Right.
Kick-ass movie.
I love that there's a scene where he's driving down the road and he's talking into his CB. And he's like, what's he say? He's like, is it, who comes calling? I don't remember. Comes calling, and he's like, he says, and they come calling, have you paid your dues? Have you paid your dues? When he comes calling on me, looks me in the eyes, and he says, Jack, have you paid your dues? I look him right back in the face and say, check's in the mail. I just love that line. Oh, this is one of the things. I just butched it, so it was horrible.
You killed it. I don't know what it is.
For a guy who was just quoting movies earlier, pretty much verbatim, I just butched the hell out of that.
Well, you've been drinking, and
we've been drinking. Yeah, beer and a half. Yes, Stu, get your feet off me.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Sean. Just want to say that. Sean had to bring it up a couple days ago that it's like, well, it was always funny when Stu put his feet on you. Thanks, dick. Because now he's putting his feet on me again.
dun, 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 dun. I could do other things.
I don't know, man. Big Trouble in Little China just kicks ass. This is one of those on a lot on Saturday matinees.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where if it's on and I'm walking past, I'm going to watch like the rest of the freaking movie.
You know, it's hard to believe it was a box office flop when it first came out.
And now it's like a
cult
favorite.
There ain't no way. Was it really?
Yes, it
was. A lot of his movies are that way.
Yeah.
They're box office, they don't do that well, but cult, they become cult classics, mm-hmm. and over their lifespan, they just incredible.
Now, is John Carpenter still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
And they got the squinty eye guy from Golden Child. He's in it, too.
I want the knife.
You know, you know, he's got that one eye that's messed up.
I want glaucoma.
And yes, there are guys shooting electricity out of their hands. There's a dude that makes himself get big and puffy. I don't know what's up with that. Their names are Lightning, Thunder, and Rain.
Yes, I do believe so.
I'm guessing Thunder was the guy that could go.
Yes. Yes, and Rain had the two little handle things that like spun around with the claws on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was my sound effect.
It's like it's coming at me.
Pretty. 1987, Prince of Darkness.
That's me.
Okay.
Darkness. I'm the effing Prince of Darkness. I can have bubble Sharon. that was an obscure reference there.
I remember that one.
To the Osbournes. She gets a bubble machine for him on stage.
When did Ozzy Osbourne become an actor? Come on, man.
She gets in one of the episodes of the Osbournes. Sharon arranges for a bubble machine on the stage. He's like, I'm the effing Prince of Darkness. I can't have bubbles, Sharon. Prince of Darkness is also just a really creepy movie. Also has Donald Pleasance in it. Go figure.
See, I was thinking of it was Legend or whatever that movie was at first.
This movie, what are they? Are they just possessed? I don't know. But these people are kind of hold. Is it a church they're held up in or just a big building?
It's been so long since I've seen
it. It's been a while for me, too. All I know is there's these guys trying to get in. They're like bums and hobos, but they're getting like possessed or something. They're trying to get in at them. Really creepy movie. I highly advise going back and watching it. And that's all I can say because it's been a couple years for me, too.
It's been a while for me.
And then we're about
know
to
that.
The last movie he did in the 80s. We're just going to read this list. 1988.
Does anybody have bubblegum?
Ooh.
One of Stu's all-time favoritest movies.
No bubblegum?
Yes.
And probably Stu's favorite John Carpenter movie. What are you giving him dirty looks for?
Huh?
What were you giving him dirty looks for? I saw you.
Because I stole the line.
Oh, you poor baby.
I'm like... Hold on. He's butchering the hell out of it.
He wasn't saying it verbatim.
No. Here, you want your chance? Here's your chance to show.
No. I ain't going to say it.
F you. I'm going to say it better than both of you. Maybe I will. Oh. Hold on. I have to clear my throat a little bit because that's my problem. My throat.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
How was that?
I have...
Sorry, I get a little stuttery sometimes. That's
that
right.
Good. That was
1988's good. They Live, starring Mr. Roddy
Piper.
The man. The legend.
Go ahead, synopsize, Stumandy.
Basically. Wanderer, hitchhiker, travels around.
I just like when he synopsizes and fucks everything up.
Yeah, I know.
Walk, walk, walk.
Comes to town. What the hell is that?
Did everybody hear that?
What was that?
I don't know what it was. It was like, beep. It was weird.
Somebody's phone.
No.
No?
Go ahead, though.
Runs this little village area, sleeping campground, whatever. All right, I'm done.
There are aliens in this dog park.
Oh, shit. Anybody else? Synopsize? Go
Roddy,
for it.
Roddy Piper is a homeless guy looking for work, and he comes upon these sunglasses or something or other, and he can see aliens. I forget the whole movie. I only remember the fight scene, which was just so awesome.
Dude, you might need to take back over. That is one of the best fight scenes ever in a movie.
And you know what? I used to think it was like 20 minutes long, but it's actually only five and a half minutes.
Yeah, but still a five and a half
which is on my MySpace.
It is posted on Stu's MySpace. Incredible.
It does kick ass.
Basically, Roddy Piper comes. He is a wanderer, kind of homeless guy looking for work, and he gets work at this construction site. And he does stay in, it's like a shanty town. It's like a little shanty town. It's a bunch of homeless people get together and build like a little town. And he's kind of staying there. A guy that he works with is like, you need a place to stay, and he shows him. And there's this little church across the street, and Rider Piper notices some weird shit's going on at this church. Mm-hmm. So he ends up sneaking in one day, and he finds a box full of cheap sunglasses. And he doesn't think anything of it, but he takes them. Well, he puts the sunglasses on and realizes that he sees a lot of people aren't really people. They look like muscle. Like mm-hmm. people whose skin is gone and their muscle is all that's left.
Right.
And there are some great lines that come out of his mouth because of it. What's he say to that lady?
You are one ugly motherfucker.
No, that's Predator.
Oh, yeah.
something about perfume on a pig or yeah, some like, such thing.
Lady, you can put perfume on a pig, but I don't know, man. But it is great.
My bad. I totally stole that
but
one.
But the kick-ass and chew gum scene, he walks into the bank with a gun, kind of accidentally.
Yeah, he totally, because the sunglasses were kind of screwing with him.
Well, he's running.
And he's running from the...
And he runs into a bank. I don't think his intention was to go into a bank. And everybody looks at him, and he just sort of, he just rolls with it.
They all just, like, stop and stare, and I'm like, oh, shit.
It is fucking awesome. So, anyway, he's trying to convince the other guy that he works with, and he's trying to get the guy to wear the sunglasses. At this point, he's been accused of all kinds of shit, murder. And, you know, all kinds of shit. So the guy isn't even happy to see him. They get into a fight in an alley. And, I mean, at no point does this fight not look brutal. I mean, they do such a good job. It's like...
Yeah. It looks like it hurts.
And they both look hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they just get their ass kicked and get up and walk away. When they walk off at the end, they're like... He keeps throwing his sunglasses on him. He freaking... Oh, man, they are beating the shit out of each other. And it is. It is a 5-minute long, like... I think it's like one take.
And I think they incorporate a couple wrestling moves.
Oh,
in it, of course
they do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Every wrestler that's in any movie, they always incorporate some kind
Absolutely.
Of wrestling move in it.
And again, great ending. A lot of people hated it. I love the ending. You couldn't make a movie end in it. This movie had to end like this. Incredible. Yeah. Oh, and the scene with the ones... Everybody knows
we're thinking about the same thing, aren't
we?
The
sex scene?
Yes.
Oh, that's so awesome.
She looks up at him. What's wrong, baby?
She has some really big boobs. I wonder what they look like now.
And they have the watches. Yeah. The watches make them, like, drop through the
I wonder what her boobs look
teleportation
like
teleportation or something.
I don't know. Probably hitting her knees.
This is 1988. 20 years.
Boom.
Yeah, she was probably about 20 some years old.
So they're probably hitting the knees right about
now. She's probably in her 40s. She probably still look pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay,
their stomach.
MILF.
MILF.
Yeah, MILF action.
MILF, it does a body good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Quite wow, we are actually running pretty late here. I'm going to go ahead and... those are the John Carpenter's movies of the 80s. We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll come back, do that thing we do, and then we'll bullshit for a few minutes. And,
take off
the podcast. Yeah, you like that? You like it? All right. So, we'll be right back.
Automaton transfusion. The quick and the undead. Zombie bloodbath. The veil. Bio zombie. Meat market. Zombie Death House.
Netflix. Blockbuster Online. Amazon. There are hundreds of straight-to-DVD zombie flicks available through these channels, and even more are available directly from independent filmmakers. Mail Order Zombie is your guide to the best and worst of these zombie movies. I'm Brother D, and every week, I'm reviewing zombie movies for y'all. You'll also get a regular fix of zombie news, and you can also participate in the bi-weekly zombie aptitude test. Look up Mail Order Zombie in the iTunes store, or check us out at www.mailorderzombie.com. You can also find us at Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. Drop by and give us a listen. What else are you going to do? Wait around for the zombies to get you?
Song of the Dead. Dead Life. Corpses. Electric Zombies. Graveyard. Dead Moon Rising. I was a zombie for the FBI. Zombie Campout.
Mail Order Zombie. www.mailorderzombie.com.
Hello all, it's me, Nigel, and I'm here with a very, very important message to any of you who are subscribing to the feed through Podomatic. As of August the 1st, there will be no more episodes posted on Podomatic. That's right, folks. After July, everything will be going through the RSS feed of our website, which is obscure80s.com. Now, hopefully you've already done the smart thing and went on over there and subscribed to that RSS feed, which is also available through iTunes. But if you haven't, please, please, please do it now. We've kept the Podomatic feed up for a while, just for those of you who, you know, don't have an easy time with the transition thing. But it's become way too difficult trying to post two feeds every week. Well, we've got so much more going on. Besides that, you can get the RSS feed off our website. It's readily available there, so go there. www.obscure80s.com and then just click on the episode button and follow the RSS link. Or you can just click on the RSS link on the homepage, or you can just go to iTunes and do a search. As I said, as of August the 1st, no more Podomatic. It'll only be through our feed. So listen, this is your last warning. No more Podomatic after July. It's just a pain in the ass. So follow us on over, and we'll be seeing you at the new site, obscure80s.com. Peace, love, and stay awesome.
No more Podomatic. Did you get that?
No more. No.
I got it.
That was an important message because... Yes.
Have you ever been on Podomatic?
We have.
No.
Yeah.
It really kind of sucks that we're leaving because we just kicked ass and moved up to... In our category.
Like number four?
We are number four in our category now.
Hot diggity wow.
We have
Without even trying.
We have almost 3,000 people coming off Podomatic every week. Just Podomatic. That's not including... our RSS feed of our site and iTunes, unless they're getting the Podomatic one. But the thing is we switched over Podomatic because we don't pay for it anymore. We have a lot of trouble with it. Episodes getting cut off when you're listening to them. Yeah, and we have to upload to two separate accounts every week. And it's a lot harder than it sounds. It really is.
It takes a lot of time.
It does.
Upload.
Especially when we both got some slow ass computers trying to do it. And the last couple times we've just had some problems with them, so we're just going to be switching. Come on over to iTunes. We have two feeds on iTunes. I'm trying to get rid of one, but iTunes isn't paying attention. Not the one with the Rubik's Cube. Not that one. That's the old feed. That's the Podomatic feed. If it's still up, when you do a search for Obscure80s on iTunes, look for the one.
Look for
not
the new
with
logo.
The cube. Look for the new logo.
Yes.
Or you can get the RSS feed off our website in a couple
www.obscure80s.com, which you should be going there anyway.
Because, and there's a lot of reasons. One of the reasons you should go there is now on our news and links page, I am putting a question of the week up every week. I'm also, that we are hoping to get, we've gotten responses from the last one. I put a new one up that I think says something about John Carpenter movies. I don't know. I think I was asking what people's favorite John Carpenter movie was, period, not just 80s. And also, what is your favorite John Carpenter, as a bonus question, what's your favorite movie he scored? Which we didn't talk about, we will in a second. The pastry crack recipe will be up on our site this week.
I got
permission to put it up. She's like, well, I didn't come up with it. I'm like, yes, you did. So that'll be up this week. And also... we are posting a week ahead of time what next week's topic will be, so if anybody has any input they want to send in. Next week, it's probably, almost definitely going to be 80s movies done from comic books. And, guys, it's not just Batman, all right? Don't go a little further than that, because there's some weird ones.
How are the duck?
Swamp Thing. So we're getting, yeah, we're going to get
Toxic
into
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't a comic book, was it, first?
No, it was a movie first.
It's just a movie.
Yeah, but it's still, yeah.
Eh. So that should be next week, almost definitely, because of the Batman movie coming out next week. So,
da-da.
And we'll have an announcement next week of something, an upcoming thing that we will need you, the 80s Nation, to contribute on. And this is kind of a big deal, and I'll put something up on our website for that. You can also contact us by clicking the contact button on our website, and that'll email us directly. Or you can go to obscure80s@gmail.com and email us like that.
Or. Just go to our MySpace page, myspace.com/80s obscure. Or just do a search for Obscure 80s.
That'll work.
And, make sure you guys pay close attention on the toxic.
Here, let me pull that out. Go ahead. You can talk now. Pay close attention. Oh, Stewie D got his new tat.
Oh, yeah.
Did we mention that? Stewie just got his second crew tat. Third, sort of, yeah. I'm sure those pictures are up on MySpace.
They are on MySpace. They look great. Make sure you... take a look, see how the crew 2 is starting to look.
The Stew Crew 2.
And if you want Stewie D to get like a mad fold in on his back.
There's no possible way it's
going to
happen.
Yoga, brother. Yoga.
Yoga on my poga. All right.
Damn. Well, if you do yoga long enough, you might be able to reach it.
Ain't ever happening.
I hurt myself when I try. Yeah, so website us. Also, people, you can still click on the donate link for us, but you can also click on the donate link for the American Cancer Society. Shut up. And, you know, even if you're just donating $5, do it, man.
Yeah.
Donate to the show if you want.
And donate to Stop Cancer.
Donate to Stop Cancer.
Because you should. That's it.
Make sure. What? Just make sure for everyone out there, if you're going to take pictures of your boobs, send it to obscurities@gmail.com.
So would somebody please send the boy a picture of their boobs? Anybody.
Yes, anybody.
Real boobs, not some fat, nasty.
What if they are?
Angel.
That was a good picture. Ugh. So what we didn't talk about was a lot of the films John Carpenter directed, he also wrote the music for. Escape from New York, Halloween, which is... famous, very famous.
Classic.
Which is not an 80s movie, but still we're talking about the movies he scored. And he also did some of the Big Trouble in Little China. I'm sure he did other stuff. I don't know. Did he do The Thing? He might have had some contribution in that as well. I don't really know because I didn't really research it that much.
Did he do any of They Live at all?
I think so, yes. I think the opening music was him.
Okay.
Speaking of the day live, I'm surprised you didn't go back to the horror hound thing that I did.
Oh, we've told the story so many times.
Yeah, I'm so surprised you didn't go back.
Stewie meeting Roddy Piper. But he did get his autograph on They Live.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And he was a cool guy.
Oh, he's kick ass. I wish he would be coming back through again, but unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen yet. So does anybody have anything they would like to talk about before we get on out of here? I see a hand.
Yeah, that'd be mine. That's cool. I just took it out of my pants.
I can smell.
Can I smell it?
I just want to say that one of the reasons I'm against an Escape from New York remake.
Abortion. We just changed the...
we're against production.
We just changed this cast big time. One of the reasons I'm against abortion.
No. But in the case
I like
of...
to eat babies, and if you abort them...
My baby!
You were the baby eater at work.
Yeah, I used to joke about that. Wow,
that's
horrible.
Creepy then that I said that.
Yes,
and,
it is.
Wow. What a coinky dink.
Yeah.
Weren't you the baby eater?
Stay away from my children. They're toddlers.
That was my first MySpace name, I think. Something like that.
Baby eater.
My baby!
Well, I just want to say in the case of Snake Plissken, I think character and actor were one and the same for that, Kurt Russell. And that's one of the big reasons I'm against a remake.
I know there was some
talk
of Gerard Butler for a while, and I'm like...
Yeah, you know.
I mean, if you're going to do it, I guess it'd be better than, you know, but you can't do it.
But it's something like Harrison Ford with Indiana Jones. I just could never see anybody else being Indiana Jones.
No.
because Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones.
Right. And I know they've talked about Shia LaBeouf taking over the franchise, but if they do that, which they shouldn't, but if they do that, it wouldn't be Indiana Jones. It'd be
Mutt
Indiana
Williams.
That'd be like Mutt.
But I mean, it would be like a spinoff series. It wouldn't be, I mean, because it would be a different series based on that world, because he would be a different character with different personality traits. And
but the thing is, would anybody care?
No.
Indiana Jones would be like the Bond thing, you know, changing Bonds every, you know, it just wouldn't work. I don't think it would.
Well, the Bond thing works. The problem is
not with Indy, though. I don't think.
Yeah, that wouldn't work at all. No. The Bond thing is.
And that goes, same goes
is
for
you
Snake
might
Plissken.
Have the occasional bad Bond, and then you'll have a good one. I don't personally like Daniel Craig as Bond.
No.
He's ugly.
That's what makes him a horrible Bond.
Bond is supposed to be. Okay, suave. You disagree, but Bond is supposed to be like debonair and suave and handsome.
You see, that was
a problem
with other Bonds.
What?
You need an ugly motherfucker to kill people.
No, you. That was
Bond.
You
do.
You just want someone to
then
look up to.
Then you don't want James Bond.
Yeah, I do.
Then you don't want James Bond because that's not who he is.
Sorry, but Daniel Craig,
you want
a new Bond.
Freddie Krueger or something.
I think his acting's fine, although I did not like Casino Royale. I thought it was boring.
The next one looks boring too.
Quantum of Solace takes place right after Casino Royale.
Oh, okay.
I was a Pierce Brosnan fan. I think Bronson Pinchot should have taken over. I think that would have been
Bronson Pinchot?
Pierce Brosnan, Bronson Pinchot. Oh. I used to get their names mixed up.
Yeah,
I like
Pierce
Brosnan.
Brosnan.
I like, of course.
He didn't like the one dude.
Huh?
Sean Connery?
Of course. Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton.
Oh my good lord! Now I'm starting to understand some stuff about you.
I
like bad movies.
I've never read the novels, but I heard that Timothy Dalton's Bond is actually very accurate to the novels. Like
maybe,
he's cold.
But him as a, no, yeah. That's not. I just don't like him much as an actor.
Right,
just not a big Timothy.
He's
Dalton
actually
man.
Okay in
Hot Fuzz.
I was about to say Hot Fuzz,
but he plays kind of a campy character.
Yes,
so kind of works. And we're way off topic.
Okay, right.
Thanks for bringing up James Bond.
My
you
bad.
Little penis.
My bad. I also want to put it up to everyone that out there in the 80s nation. Anybody that has any like 80s sightings, email them to us.
You said this earlier in the show.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you
did.
Yeah. Oh my good lord, dude! Get off the crack.
Send it to.
You're the fattest crack addict I know. I said you're the fattest crack addict I know. Either you ain't doing enough of it, or you ain't doing it right. Oh my Wait, that's how we should lose weight. Let's take
up no
crack.
Gorilla tits like you.
No.
I got man tits. You got gorilla tits.
I don't know what I'd be saying.
No, those are called moobs.
Hey, you have moobs.
No, you have moobs.
Man no,
moobs.
You have moobs.
Mommy, daddy, stop fighting.
No, you have moobs. You're starting to get some gorilla titties over there. You might want to work
boobs.
On that.
Oh, boy.
That should be our new diet plan here on the Obscure 80s. Crack. It's from the 80s.
Yeah.
Crack.
All right.
Crack
so,
kills.
So before we get...
This podcast is making me sad.
Stewie, do you have anything else you would like to say to the folks at home?
This is crack. Crack kills.
It's crack.
Be excellent to each other.
Party on, dudes.
Stay
awesome.
Stay awesome.
After last week. And this in the background is the Coupe de Villes. John Carpenter is a member of this band. But funny. Horribly funny.
Hey,
sound like the Cult.
Except for that.
That sounds like Sting.
Where we gonna run?
Run into the Mystic Night.
Mystic Night, my bad.
Sounds like a cult.
Take us away. That dude does not sound like Sting. No.
This song is more cheesy than the piece of the ape.
Big trouble. If I actually thought you believed that.
Right.
This song is...
I
know friends who they treat you like a guest.
Don't you want somebody to
run into the night? Run until the day goes away. Take us away.
Kill me now.
In that vagina.
Got my big trouble
in your vagina.
You got my big trouble. Baby, now the truth is here. You gotta come bubble.
All we've heard from Mike all night is,
"Hey, I died 1,000 times, and I'll die some more." Never mind. Sure. Never mind.
Is that a black thing?
Or do you even understand?
It's a masturbation joke.
He's a gay white man.
It's a masturbation joke.
Of course you know.
Oh, so like none of y'all.
Religiously.
What is it? Is that in the good book or something?
Okay, now we're going way off the rails.
Hey,
we'll talk to you guys next week.
This program was recorded at Studio 2100 and is a Penny Call production.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I would like some madness. Please.
That's what I got something I need to say.
Vagina mayonnaise.